As March Madness plays out on TV, the U.S. Supreme Court is taking a rare excursion into sports law today. The case tests whether the NCAA's limits on compensation for student athletes violates the nation's antitrust laws. The ruling could have huge consequences for college athletics. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The NCAA maintains that the antitrust laws allow it to impose certain limits on athlete compensation in order to preserve relative parity of play and to maintain what the NCAA contends is the essence of college sport popularity, amateurism. The players, on the other hand, maintain that the NCAA is operating a system that's a classic restraint of competition in business. And there's little doubt that big-time college sports is a business. Gary Roberts has practiced and taught sports law and antitrust law for more than four decades.
There's no question that the commercialization of big-time college football and college basketball have morphed those activities into a very lucrative business and are taking advantage of students to generate that income.
Indeed, in 2016, the NCAA negotiated TV rights of $1.1 billion per year for the March Madness basketball competition. As TV rights have skyrocketed, so too have the multi-million dollar salaries paid to coaches and even pricier palatial training facilities and stadiums. But the NCAA continues to dramatically limit compensation for players. The compensation, argues the NCAA, is a free education and education-related expenses. The NCAA in the last 5 years has broadened the benefits that student athletes can receive, but the rules are still incomprehensible to many. Siding with the student athletes are professional players' associations for the NFL, the NBA, and the Women's Soccer League. They note, for instance, that the NCAA rules permit tennis players to accept up to $10,000 in prize money prior to college enrollment, but football, basketball, and soccer players can't do that. Gabe Feldman is the director of the Tulane University Sports Law Program and the associate provost for NCAA compliance. He says the battle between the players and the colleges they play for is more than just an economic fight, it's a civil rights fight.
If you look at the athletes who are being harmed by this most, they are men's and women's basketball players and football players, and they are predominantly Black.
Conversely, he observes, the athletes who play sports that are subsidized, often using the basketball and football income, those athletes are predominantly white students who play tennis, golf, and other sports that do not make megabucks, if any bucks, for the schools. Today's case is an appeal brought by the NCAA after the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California expanded the range of education-related benefits that student athletes could receive. Among them, laptop computers, musical instruments, paid internships, and tuition for graduate school. The NCAA contends its rules are largely exempt from antitrust laws because they, quote, widen choices for consumers by distinguishing college sports from professional sports.
This is history repeating itself.
Tulane's Professor Feldman.
Every professional sports league argued that some change that provided athletes with more rights would destroy the sport, whether it was free agency, you name it.
The Olympics used to bar all professionals from its competitions, but those rules are gone now. Professional basketball players and hockey players thrill Olympic audiences, and the U.S. and other countries actually pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to Olympic athletes for medal-winning performances. Should the NCAA lose in the Supreme Court, it can seek help from Congress, but any blanket exemption from antitrust laws would seem unlikely. Meanwhile, lots of states are enacting laws that would allow college athletes to make money from their own names and images through endorsement deals and social media platforms, something that is currently banned by the NCAA.
They're juggling fiery knives.
Again, Professor Feldman.
They're trying to thread a needle between the Supreme Court, Congress, the states, and the pressure from the public and the athletes who are potentially threatening to sit out games unless they get better treatment.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.